Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gurz.
Hi.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about The Casebook of Ane, aka Ane no Jikinbo, a series that started recently. Since this is based on a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest. It was animated by Silver Link, the studio behind My Next Life as a Villainess, All Roots Lead to Doom, and The Dungeon of Black Company. They've actually done a lot, but none is what I'd call well-known. So, the two I picked. The Casebook of Ane currently has a Ane list score of 59%. The Casebook of Ane is a detective adventure game made in RPG Maker and released on Steam in 2020. It came out as a free game in 2017 in Japan, then got a manga adaptation in 2018, which ran until 2022. And it has a second manga, which started on the same day that this anime did. My short synopsis is: a child detective resolves to find answers. Arthur, what do you have?
So I struggled a bit with this one because of the first episode, but I just stuck with something super basic. Follow a group of characters across a series of mysteries tied to the supernatural.
And goes?
There are two types of people in this world: those who like isekais and those with an actual good taste. Neither likes it when the protagonist dies at the end of the first episode and is replaced by someone else.
Spoilers.
I don't care.
You don't care about spoilers, or you don't care about giving spoilers?
Neither, actually.
Right, so the anime opens with Lewis Hartman. It's two N's. I don't know if it's just Hartman or Hartman, because, like, the two N's.
Hartman... We're just going to get stuck with that forever. Oh, no.
Doesn't man just mean man in German or something?
Yeah, we'll probably get into it, but this anime is aggressively German, I think.
Is it aggressively German in a bad way?
For something that's not made by Germans, it's quite German.
Yeah, they even mention Japan, like it's a different country.
We open with Lewis Hartman opening a new manga volume of Wolfman as he narrates about there being two types of people in the world. He lists four types of people: those who like comics, those who do not, those who believe in the supernatural, and those who don't.
Actually, there are still two types. The types just line up perfectly. It's like...
in a Venn diagram, they're just perfect circles.
They're not a Venn diagram at all. I guess that the overlap could just be weirdos, I guess.
He gets a phone call and races out to the woods to look at his father's corpse. Since the body is drained of blood and appears to have been twisted like someone wrung him out like a wet towel, the gathered people suspect it was a vampire. Channeling his inner Agent Scully, Lewis refuses to entertain the idea as the supernatural doesn't exist. Lewis then pledges to catch the killer himself, and we get the titles. I think the song's pretty good. It's catchy. It's reminiscent of the opening for The Case Study of Vanitas, if either of you watched that. I checked, it's not by the same person. But that is also about a vampire and a human investigating things.
Wait a minute. Spoilers! Anyway... So I really like the music in it as well. It's kind of like very high, like, tempo. And I quite liked the visuals as well. I've always liked when they do kind of like these abstract looks, not actual, like, you know, like anime moments, even if it's not like really anime. But I like it when they have like these animation-esque things. I don't know how to explain it. I'm sorry.
No, it is very, it's very... animated is the only word I can think. Yes, it's animated, but it's animated in a very animated way. That's not making it any clearer.
animation squared. Welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of idiots get together to talk about topics they don't know how to talk about.
See, there's drawing things in this, and there's people who speak words.
Words and motion.
Oh my god.
It's still movement.
Actually, it's not movement, it's an illusion of movement.
Ooh.
Magical. We haven't seen this in over 80 years.
Anyway, we open back on a local restaurant where Odo, who looks like Brock from Pokemon, has just finished. He leaves.
You fucking racist.
I thought the same.
He does. He's got similar haircut. He's got the eyes that don't open.
I was like, holy moly, Brock got buff in Germany.
As he leaves, Lewis enters, being made to have a bowl of goulash. I'm not going to lie, from the opening titles we just saw, I can only assume that it's goulash because it sounds like a ghoul and everything in the show is just going to be supernatural stuff. As he's eating, he overhears a conversation at another table. Arne and Lynn are on the hunt for a killer who might be a vampire. Lewis throws a hissy fit like a child when he screams at the pair that they are children and calmly told that he is also a child, and storms out.
And we should mention that Arne looks like an obvious vampire, but...
Because the 1.2 is...
Wait, Gorse, I thought you were saying we were racist for saying it's Brock. Are you saying all vampires look the same?
Yes!
Arne isn't a vampire, he's a Dracula.
Top 10 episodes most likely to get us cancelled.
Is he some kind of a Dracula?
Lewis knocks into someone else who is entering, who is clearly a zombie nun. We get no explanation for her, though. Instead, later, Lynn tracks Lewis down in a flower field and introduces herself, asking to cooperate on this case.
And don't look at my face, it's totally normal. I'm just a nun, like any other.
Lewis refuses as the Hartman Detective Agency, his father's agency, solved all of Blumenstad's toughest cases. Lynn is unfazed by the psychotic way that Lewis reacted and offers to share information. We cut to the Hartman Detective Agency, where Arne explains how they got involved. Arne posits that the killer, who is only murdering in this one village, is out to steal large quantities of blood. I mean, duh.
I mean, they're literally wrangling them up like a towel. I've never heard of that method. Sounds very, very counterintuitive. I would have done it differently. I mean, I've heard it's done differently.
Yeah, I wonder how well would that actually work.
I suppose it depends how you're trying to collect the blood. Is it in a small container or a massive container?
Is it in a small container or not at all?
Well, if you like hold the human vertically, then it can probably just go into like a regular bucket or a barrel when you wring him out.
Lewis says that there's no such thing as vampires, and Lynn agrees that it's probably not a vampire, as the latest corpses had no bite marks, and since the blood is squeezed out, it wouldn't be pure enough for a vampire to drink.
Or I guess she figures, because she has no personal experience, obviously.
After sharing information, Lewis attempts to leave and declines an invitation to stay for a drink. So the unnamed zombie nun chokes him with a chain, which convinces him to stay.
That would have convinced me too.
Isn't that like a wrestling move?
I don't recall seeing chains in many wrestling matches.
See, but that's the key word, many. What kind of wrestling matches have you been watching?
Ones that are banned by the Online Safety
Act. Oh, can I watch it without a credit card?
only if you put the VPN on. Arne tells Lewis that he smells blood, and Lewis says it's probably his dad's bloodstained hat. But no, it's his mother's bloodstained handkerchief, which his dad was holding. And suddenly, he pieces it all together. But he doesn't tell us, because there's a knock at the door.
He pieces it all together. That guy who just detected that I have blood in my pocket must be a vampire. It's obvious. I'm a detective.
Vampires don't exist. They like to go by the word Dracula's.
The police are there to tell him that Odo is dead. He took his own life and left a letter saying that he was the vampire after all. But Lewis runs out and returns to the flower field where the restaurant owner, Miss Adelina, is watering the flowers with blood.
Yeah, that sentence landed perfectly. It's watering flowers with blood. Just, you know, your usual day-to-day behavior with flowers.
Wait, would it still be watering or would it be blooding the flowers?
Lewis says that the handkerchief was a message, as one of the white flowers embroidered on it is stained with blood. That's the gist of it. I mean, he doesn't do much of a better job explaining it.
His father put way too much faith in him.
Adelina explains that she loves the flowers, just not the colour, so she wanted to dye them red. She then says that Odo wasn't her accomplice, like Lewis suggested. She's in fact a golem summoning witch, and she summons a massive golem.
So she's a Jewish?
And it skewers him without him noticing. Before it can crush him, however, Arne saves him, drinks some blood from a vial, and turns into an adult vampire. Not just any adult vampire, but the supreme High Lord vampire created from the nine hearts of vampire lords.
So basically, Arne's male version of a Lolita. Never seen it, credit where credit's due.
While Arne can easily destroy the golems Adelina summons, he waits for Lewis to die and be resurrected via necromancy so that Lewis can brutally kill the witch himself. The unnamed zombie nun is a necromancer, BT dubs.
Gasp!
The next day, the three members of the Arne Detective Agency leave town, and a talking plushie that the zombie nun carries around wakes up. The episode ends after quickly confirming that Lewis is in fact dead.
Okay, that was a good episode.
Episode 2 opens straight with the title song, No Cold Open. And Whitelight was in the first one, Lewis appears 4 times. In this one, he's absent from the first and final sections of the opening, and he's a zombie in the other 2 sections. I just love that they made 2 versions to avoid spoiling the first episode.
Yeah, that's a really nice detail, because I've accidentally caught spoilers like that when I'm just watching something. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. You'd expect, you know, the protagonist to appear in this opening sequences, wouldn't you?
Yes, it's kind of a hint that he's doing the Thriller zombie dance for a couple of seconds during the first opening. But anyway, we open with unnamed zombie nun. She never gets a name. Giving Lynn some flowers, which causes Lynn to have a flashback to meeting Arne. It's the second anniversary of her mother's death, and after she visits her grave, Lynn returns to have dinner. Her father says that he's just finished, and so has his wife. But when Lynn mentions the fact that his wife is dead, he has a fit. He's led off by the help, and the butler asks Lynn to not go out alone, as there have been multiple murders in the area. Later, she's feeling down and decides that she'll change her mood by putting on a tracksuit and watching a movie about Arne fighting a vampire hunter. She then fantasizes about meeting a vampire before seeing her father through the window, leaving the grounds.
She puts an anime on a projector, and I'm so confused as to the time period this is taking place in.
You mean because of the old-timey phones?
I mean, she watches an anime on a projector while wearing a tracksuit. Or not on a TV. Did anyone ever watch an anime on a projector?
Rich people do.
Rich people.
Anyway, she changes and sneaks after him. However, she loses sight of him, then hears a scream, and she rounds a corner to find two dead men. She's then menaced and chased by a large cloaked figure. While cowering in a corner, suddenly her pendant lights up and she disappears. She reappears in a different town and follows a bat to a castle. The bat lands on a coffin, and at first she acts like a normal person and doesn't open it. But then she figures it's a dream, so throws that thing open.
Yeah. I love that explanation, because no one should have opened that. And she's her being like, oh, this is a dream. It's like, I love that they went through the trouble of not making her that unhinged.
She finds a person on a literal bed of roses inside and then faints. She wakes on a sofa with a candle on the table and is spoken to by a figure inside a mirror named Zise. He explains that he can only exist inside mirrors and tells Lynn that the lord of the castle is a vampire who is keeping her locked away as a source of blood. Speaking of which, he opens the door and menaces her. Except she's totally into it. Arne has a go at Zise, who is loving the fact that this kid is unafraid and making Arne uncomfortable. Later, they're both sat down and Lynn apologizes for getting carried away. Zise explains that Arne only drinks blood given as payment for his detective business. She explains what happened to her, and Arne tells her that her attacker was either her father, or else her father works for them. Or works with them. He's uninterested in taking her case until he sees her pendant. He leaves the room and returns in his kid form, then asks for his payment, which Lynn is super excited about. Except he just draws it the normal way and keeps it in a test tube.
Freaking capitalism.
Normal.
Taking away the intimacy of vampirism.
He doesn't ring her out, you mean?
Exactly.
As they leave, he explains that they're in Lugenburg, a town of supernatural creatures. It's seemingly a neighboring town as they walk back to her house and go over the plan. Lynn will draw everyone downstairs, and Arne will go to her father's room. So Arne drinks some blood and makes his way into the room, seeing a portrait of Lynn's mother, where she was wearing the pendant. He locates something on the desk, and later meets Lynn in her bedroom. He's discovered that Lynn's father is Frankensteining her mother back together. And the episode ends with credits. And what is with vampire anime and this genre of music? The case study of Vanitas has the same genre of music as this.
That's super interesting. I wonder what it is.
Like, I can understand why vampire anime is usually set in Europe, because European vampires and Japanese vampires are completely different things.
Wait, there's a Japanese vampire?
Yeah. They're blue and they hold their arms out like your general zombies do, and they hop.
No, that's Chinese.
I thought that was Japanese.
No, it's called a Jiangshi. I butchered that pronunciation.
It would be really funny if Arne was not like the European vampire, but the other one, and she was expecting a European vampire.
Expecting a Dracula, and he's just hopping everywhere. Episode 3 starts with Arne having told Lynn what's going on. Arne leaves Zise with Lynn, and as well as a spare key to her father's room. And then we get the titles. We return to The Help, talking about Lynn growing up and acting suspicious. Lynn soon gets a phone call from her father telling her to go to his room. She arrives and has to unlock the door with her key, but he's not there. Instead, he's in a room off to the side. And he tells Lynn that the three of them can now be together forever. 30 minutes pass, and the house's guard arrives, having to also unlock the door to get in. He finds Lynn unconscious and covered in blood, and the headless body of her father. 30 minutes later, she's in bed, and Arne is in her father's room, talking to Zise, who couldn't see anything because it was dark. Arne identifies that the body isn't her father, then finds a ladder in the closet leading down to the basement. Down there he finds body parts, but not the father. Well, I wrote that and then, well, stay tuned. We cut to Lynn having been told what occurred, and Arne joins her once she's alone, and he tells her that the headless body wasn't her father. Instead, her father's body was hidden in the basement. She demands to be taken to see her father, so he takes her. She then puts on a tracksuit and asks to help find the killer.
I would love for her to have, like, a Sailor Moon transformation, but it's a tracksuit instead. Because, like, what is it with the tracksuit? I'm sorry, but it's just so random.
She turns into a meat.
She says, I'm so glad that I have these Japanese X-brand tracksuits. And I thought, is that an actual brand? Are they advertising in this anime? So I looked it up and no, it's just a Japanese last name.
It has like a little bat logo on them.
It does. And a headband.
Is it Batman branded tracksuit?
They're Wayne tracksuits.
It's tracksuit from the Batman and Robin timeline. Because he has bat credit card and bat nipples.
Bat nipples.
Yeah. So he has bat tracksuits also. And they're red.
While investigating her father's room, they wind up going through a vent into the storeroom next door, where Lynn falls over. This brings the help coming to find out what happened while Arne skedaddles back to the basement, where he finds a hidden staircase leading underground. In the underground chamber, he finds a jar which once contained one of his hearts. At some point he said that he only has one heart now, and the explanation of him is that apparently he used to have 9. Elsewhere, the butler tells Lynn about how the two maids were being forced to prostitute themselves to her father's guests.
That's so jarring to me, that sudden reveal.
Yeah.
He suddenly goes, oh, and those two maids had to do sex work, and this guy sold drugs, and this guy stole, and this guy strangled puppies at night. He's starting to overshare, and my prostate is the size of a golf ball now.
Two of the other staff fell in love with the maids, and the chef hated her father for not eating full meals. So everyone has a exactly the same hatred for the father. He left food. He made my girlfriend sleep with other men.
How dare he not get sufficient nutrition?
The chef and butler are knocked down by someone, and the help gathers to blame one another. This makes Lynn realize that nobody cares that her dad is dead. Did you not listen to what the butler was saying, Lynn?
He wasn't eating enough, Lynn.
He was
Who leaving... could tolerate him?
He was leaving bits of bread on his plate. That bastard. She resolves to call the police in the morning and starts asking everyone where they were when her father was killed. And the episode ends. So was it a good adaptation? Okay, I looked it up, and yes, it follows the story and characters, but the first episode appears to be exclusive to the anime, because the start of the game is, like, the second anniversary of Lynn's mother's death and her at the graveside, which is from the second episode. So, yeah, they specifically created the character in the first episode to die.
See, I didn't say anything because I was waiting for you to complain about the phone problem.
Yes, in the Discord, I highlighted the fact that in the game, they use a modern phone, but in the anime, they use an oldie-timey phone.
Accuracy is out the window. We cannot stand it anymore.
Maybe it's just like a novelty phone in the anime. It's like you can buy a modern technology that looks like an old technology.
But yeah, when watching, I was surprised to see that it starts off like from episode 2, but otherwise, yeah, like the same character seems quite, you know, one-to-one. I'm not sure if it's gonna deviate, but it is one-to-one for now.
I just had a quick look on howlongtobeat.com, and the casebook of Arne, it says between 5 and 9 hours.
Mm.
So you're not saving that much time by watching a 13-episode anime. But is it a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
So I was a little torn. I'm going Yata, but it can verge into Nani. It feels a bit slow sometimes. I know Gore said that the first episode's bad. Not bad, but, you know, that reveal was a big shock to me. I did not expect it. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I quite liked it, and it set a really interesting tone. However, that same thing makes the anime feel very, like, out of whack, because we start with that case, then we skip ahead a little bit, then the zombie nun is, like, talking to Lin, and then we're back in the past. So it's, like, it's very back and forth. So I think the slow start of episodes 2 and 3 would feel more acceptable if it wasn't because of the strong start of episode 1. That's the only, like, problem I have.
Yeah, and Goose?
For me, it's a Nani. I didn't think it was bad, but I found it disjointed and tonally uneven. More than uneven. I mean, there were tonal shifts.
Just put on a tracksuit and it'll be fine.
Yeah, it was relatively serious, and then she puts on a tracksuit and watches anime enthusiastically, and then it's relatively serious and gets super serious because the butler reveals how every single person working at the manor is a lowlife or abused. I wasn't comfortable with the tonal shifts. It wasn't funny, it was just jarring.
Yeah, all fair. I put it as a yata. I wanted to watch more immediately. It hooked me. A bit annoyed that Zombie Nun never gets a name.
Yeah, me too. Sorry, it's just that I really liked her and I was excited to see more about her. Go on.
And she probably won't appear in the rest of the show because they're going to spend the rest on the first case. Probably.
No, I reckon after the fourth episode, they'll move on to what happened after the first case.
I think I looked at Crunchyroll and there's a there's at least a synopsis for the fifth episode, and they still seem to be in the same storyline, so it's still in the past. Oh. So I don't know.
Well, that's silly. You can't have a 4-episode flashback.
Yeah, it does feel a bit long. Even 2 episodes, I felt kind of was a bit long, which is why I feel like it just shouldn't have been a flashback. Disregard episode 1, this is entirely fine for it to be going the way it is. But with episode 1, it's like, oh, we're still here, huh?
Well, like, my question is, does the... And I don't know if either of you can answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Does the game... Do you get to a point in the game where there's a flash forward?
I wouldn't know. I haven't played it.
Because...
I just scrubbed through it.
Because, yeah, if there is, and then it's just gonna, like, they're gonna have to reintroduce the zombie nun, and might introduce other characters.
Well, I like you, Arthur, I didn't think that Lewis was gonna die. I thought he was going to be, like, turned into a vampire or a zombie, like the zombie nun.
Yeah, I was expecting it when, you know, it was revealed and he died. I was like, oh no, it's gonna be like the necromancer, the vampire, the human, and the zombie. And that was really exciting. Now, that's why he was eating goulash, because he's a ghoul.
I think that I agree. It was a mistake to do the first episode with Lewis. Other than, like, shock value, it doesn't add anything, because we're watching anime in 2026. We are going to readily accept that a vampire and a zombie and a human are going to hang out.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
We don't need Lewis saying, oh, they don't exist, they don't exist. Oh, they do exist. Wow. Yeah, okay, it's 2026. We can accept this. This isn't a talkie from the 1930s trying to convince us of these things.
Yeah, it just feels so totally out of place. With Lewis in the question, like, it makes sense, right? If he was to be, like, the main character, then you're looking at the narrative and you're supposed to be Lewis not believing that they're there. And yeah, then they're there. But it's just, it feels so out of place. I love it. It was super interesting. But then it also feels so useless because then all of that we got, like, bonding and even the opening scene of, like, there's some people who believe in it and some that don't. It's just so lost because Lewis was supposed to be the opposite of the story, right? Like, the opposite of the group. He was supposed to not believe in those things. And I like that. It's not that I don't like it without Lewis there. I think it's entirely fine without Lewis. But like you say, then we were all ready to just accept this and move on.
Yeah. We don't need to dwell on that anymore. I was just thinking of other examples, but no, we all understand this. I mean, I could introduce a viewpoint character who could explain this further, but then I'd have to kill them off. So does it deserve its annualist score of 56%?
It seems so harsh. When you said 56, it was like jarring. It's like, whoa, okay. I know Lewis was a mistake, but guys, come on.
At this point, I can kind of, I feel like it's still a little low, but I can kind of see it at this point.
I did write down that I'm not sure what people's issues could be, but you guys have gone some way to explaining what people's issues with it could be. But 56 still seems low.
Yeah, like it's the for me, it's the type of issue that brings it down to like a 7 and stops it from being a great 8, 9+. But 5, it just makes me wonder, like, what did you guys do in episode 4 that I'm not aware of?
Kills all the other characters.
Now we're going to get a new flashback.
All right, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. Sorwa dewa, game on.